You're listening to Security Nation with host Kyle Flaherty.
This week has been quite the headline drawer overall, and so we thought Matt Hathaway, longtime Security Nation, friend of the pod, I'd say, an FOP, thought we'd talk about some of the stuff, because I don't remember, it's been a while since we had a week like this.
Yeah, especially one that didn't precede a conference.
Right. Yeah, it's actually on the like the back end of Black Hat DEF CON B-sides. I mean, a few weeks after.
It makes it feel more real, right? Like they're not pushing this out right before a conference. They weren't waiting to make headlines just before everybody goes to Black Hat and needs to spend a bunch of money, you know?
Right. Well, and the funny thing is, so let's talk about the Dropbox one first. And for those who don't know, 69 million Dropbox accounts leaked, made public overall. The reasoning is kind of buried in the details, and it's still kind of being discovered, I think it would be fair to say. But the interesting part of that was that, you know, Dropbox notified users weeks ago that if they hadn't updated their passwords since 2012, to actually get on top of that. And at the time, I mean, I remember getting it, to be quite honest, and not thinking all that much about it, but, you know, kind of saying, oh, that's interesting. Something's going on. And then all of a sudden, you know, I think 2 weeks later, then there's verification, mainly from Troy Hunt, that, yeah, these, you know, 68 million have been leaked online and people have access to these.
Right.
And so, I mean, in a lot of cases, that's awesome job by the vendor to actually get out in front of that. But how, like, is it enough? Do people actually pay attention to that stuff?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I actually saw people on Twitter saying, hey, it's nice to see a vendor actually sending a reminder about good password hygiene. And that was, of course, a week ago.
Right.
And now, I mean, it wasn't just, you know, it wasn't just for the good of the world.
Right.
It got sent out. But still, no, it was great to get it, that they got ahead of it. And, you know, all of this is, I mean, if it was from 2012, it is the kind of service, right, that people don't generally update their passwords often. How often do you use Dropbox today, since we, you know, we have other services in the office for the same thing, right?
Right. Well, yeah, and in 2012, you might have been with a company that was on Dropbox, and now you're with a company on whatever service, and you completely forgot. And by the way, that's the same password you've been using for the last 4 years.
Well, I mean, that's always the biggest news to come out of most of these breaches about accounts themselves and nothing else being compromised is, oh, there's so much reuse going on that they can get sold on the, you know, on the dark web or whatever.
Right.
Scary place that everybody wants to call it, and then it can just be tried at your corporate credentials. They can try it for, you know, Salesforce or some other company related service and see if the same password works.
So, I mean, do you think that does this fall squarely on poor password hygiene?
You mean like what's the actual risk introduced? I mean, I think so. If I remember correctly, there was salt used, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Like it wasn't just, this was by no means clear text. They didn't get the actual passwords from people. They just had the hashed passwords. And so in this case, most of the risk is mitigated because they made sure that it wasn't just clear text and, you know, we've reused them elsewhere, so it would only be valid at Dropbox. That doesn't mean that was the intent of stealing them, right?
Right, right.
They didn't know that, but for most of these breaches like that, like unless you have company data on Dropbox, it's much more relevant to the other places that password could be used, right?
Right.
To get real valuable data.
Oh, yeah, completely. But in general, I feel like there's just a, I'm just reading some of the coverage over it, and it does continue to kind of push towards the users being unhygienic, if you will, about their passwords. And yeah. I wonder if the blame actually shouldn't be on the users in this case. And it's more of, I mean, what more could you have done?
Right. As a vendor? No, I totally agree.
Right.
Like, they already put multiple layers on top with adding salt and everything you're supposed to do for storing passwords of your users. If there's still a risk from it, it's pretty much on the users themselves. Like,
right.
Did you reuse passwords? Did you have, you know, a extremely guessable password? And in those cases, it's on you.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because I get into these, not arguments, but debates with people not in the security community that talk about their passwords all the time and share just different tips and tricks about, you know, we all have different kind of ways we manage and look at passwords. And I want to talk about kind of password management systems as well, because that was another big part of the news this past week. But I feel like we're getting to this point where people are just throwing their arms up in the air. And maybe they created like one awesome password, but they're just reusing that everywhere because it just doesn't make sense anymore to do it. Or they're moving to password management systems like 1Login or 1Password, or, you know, there's others like that. Yeah. But I just feel like if I'm a regular user who's not in this market, I just feel like, man, I can't do anything about this anymore. It doesn't matter. Yeah. I might as well literally just have password as my password.
No, you gotta add a 1, 2, 3 at the end. I mean,
well, of course.
That's clearly right. My policy.
Right. And an ampersand as the A.
Yeah. They'd never figure that out. I'm tricky. absolutely. Like, when I think of people I know, you know, in my personal life, and they're like, oh yeah, no, I write them all down because I always forget them. It's like, okay.
Right.
People would be thrilled to know that, you know, but mm-hmm. It's just, it becomes so frustrating as an end user to be like, really, I have to remember 42 different passwords, not store them anywhere. If I want to use one of those online password vaults, I have to remember that password. And it just seems like a lot of work for somebody who doesn't, you know, isn't in this world and can't imagine what the value is, right?
And so those people maybe move to and transitioning to kind of one of the other big stories of the week, but you move to a single sign-on or password management vendor like 1Login, who, you know, this week it was exposed that a bug in their system allowed for notes to be viewed in clear text for at least, it says, I think for a month or so
right.
in the logging system before they were encrypted. And so here I am thinking I'm, you know, doing the right thing. And then, you know, it doesn't matter if a bug or, you know, something is exploited to that point before it gets encrypted, it won't matter to you at all as a user. And again, this just goes back to that feeling, I think, of I'm going to just throw my hands up. Like, what do I do?
Yeah. I know. It's definitely a weird one where, and you know, whether it's a minor mistake like this, being things are getting logged that shouldn't,
right?
Or, you know, a different vulnerability is discovered and shown and revealed at a conference for one of these kind of password managers. These things come up, and while we all know, like, it's remediated and quickly dealt with, and you should still, it's still much safer than sharing your password everywhere and from Dropbox to work. It's still for people that aren't doing this day to day, I think it is like, what do I do now?
Right. Well, or maybe the flip side is, you know, this isn't all, you know, all too often we kind of, and certainly not you or me to some sense, but we make this into a bigger deal than it is. And listen, it was a bug. It was an exploit. It shouldn't have happened, but it does. We know we're in the business. Like,
right.
This stuff happens, and that's why you got to be ready for it. But if I'm a regular user, if I'm sitting down with, you know, family or friends over this long weekend and talking about password management, it's like, yeah, this is why you just got to create some sort of discipline and know that when it happens, go and change all of those. And yeah, does it suck a little bit? Yeah, it does. But it is what it is. It's the life that we lead in terms of, listen, I want to use all these interconnected devices, and I want to do my banking online, and whatever it is, sometimes this stuff happens. So carve out a little time and just kind of, you know, change all those passwords. And don't freak out about it like we're wont to do too often, I think, in our industry.
Yeah, well, it's the whole focusing illusion. You always think what you're focused on and what you are thinking about right now is the most important thing in the world, you know?
Right.
It's our jobs, right? It's our, if we, this is what we do for a living, so we think it must be the most important thing in every consumer's life. And it's more about, like you said, it's framing it as, well, do you want to be able to write a check to somebody on your phone while you're getting out of your car? Then occasionally you're going to have to update your passwords because something happened, you know, like these conveniences occasionally come with a price. And if you don't want to deal with that, then you can have everything go through, you know, you can sit in line at the bank and go up to the teller every day with the little tube that sucks up your cash and go back to the old school way of banking, you know.
I'm only I've instituted a secure fax line. And so that's how I'm communicating now with everybody.
Yeah, and let me tell you, it's painful for the rest of us.
I know, exactly. Well, I hope you got the 22-page fax that I sent with the awesome. This will date me. I remember getting all that fax spam at the office of like Bermuda vacations and
all
that kind of stuff. Yeah, no, and that was my
one of my first jobs. I have no idea what you're talking about, but. But I will say my retired parents get their money to spend every week on Friday going to the bank and sitting in line and talking to a teller.
Right. Yeah.
That's just, they don't use an ATM card and it just blows me away. But, you know, it's.
Look who's more secure. There's
exactly.
The irony, right?
Look who's not running to the bank to change their password today.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. They're just spending their well-earned retirement dollars. I love it. And then, you know, the other kind of two things that seemingly happened in this week they're massive breaches, certainly, but they just seem to kind of all, roll up on each other overall. But in Illinois and in Arizona, election, you know, systems attacked, and depending on who you're reading, it looks like potentially, you know, Russia is involved in Arizona. I don't know if we know who is involved in Illinois yet, overall. But of course, the FBI is, you know, involved at this level and researching it and targeting it and all of this kind of stuff. But you got to think this is going to be a topic up until November, certainly in the United States, that is just going to continue to be larger and larger.
Well, I mean, it's so passe to blame China now. So,
oh right, so now we're just it's just Russia at this point. Yeah. Okay,
you know, only one country attacks us over the cybers in any given year.
Right,
so,
exactly.
People got sick of hearing China, so now we just blame everything on Russia. And mm-hmm. Next year, I don't know. Let's pick one out of a hat. It's, you know, it's Brazil.
Ooh, nice. We'll all do that, especially post Olympics. I think that would be really
right.
Useful.
Yeah, they're mad at us because of Lochte.
Right, exactly.
Well, because, you know, none of us are mad at him. So,
well, Speedo is. Let's be honest.
Apparently, not just Speedo. Every one of his sponsors. So,
right.
But yeah, I mean that. I mean, you mentioned it to me earlier. But the fact that the one in Arizona, it's the perfect example of breaches aren't all malware anymore. That was years ago, right? Like, this just one person somehow was tricked into giving away their username and password, and that gave them access to everything.
Yeah, it was one
there
user.
You go.
I mean, they just got a username and a password from a single election official.
I mean, a lot of people have read the original write-ups that came out from RSA in 2011. That's all it was for that scenario too, was one person opening an Excel spreadsheet, right? And something giving access to that system, and then their creds were compromised. And it's that simple. It's really difficult, and that's why the upper hand goes to the attackers in many cases, right? Like, they only have to get in, they only have to get one piece, one way to get access.
Right.
So it's why it's sometimes such a thankless job in security, you know? Like, you secured the 20,000 things, but not 20,000 and first.
Right. Well, and it's why we continue to talk about people being kind of the biggest weak point. And, you know, you can sit there and test all your systems and all your apps and all that kind of stuff, but what are you doing to test your people so that they understand what these types of things are? And even then, it's hard because, you know, we all see these emails come in all the time, and all it takes is clicking on one and putting your information in overall. The bigger question I have is just how, like, the impact that this will have overall over the next few months. And, you know, going back to your post on ransomware just a few, well, it's probably a few months ago at this point, maybe just several weeks ago, but about vendors just latching onto that and using it to their advantage. And we all know that that happens a lot, especially in our industry, although we're not, every industry has that. You got to think now we're going to see a whole flux of stuff coming out around, you know, election style protection for each state, for each county, for each, all of these kind of things. And it's going to be almost as nauseating as watching all of the political ads if you're in a battle state.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. I mean, you still see the FUD for insider threats, and this technology would have detected, you know, the NSA internal workings when what's his name was compromising systems when Snowden was going around. This would have detected him.
Right.
You still see that kind of FUD, and it's like, okay.
Yeah, that whole, especially after the fact FUD, I don't know, maybe that bothers me more at this point, and I'm just a curmudgeon now in my old age.
Yeah, blame it on the old age.
Right, I was always a curmudgeon. but I think that I'm bracing myself for just the marketing campaigns that people are going to put out around this leading up to November overall, and it's just going to be painful to watch.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. I'm a firm believer in, if you want your users to avoid these sort of things and not click, like, you have to show them how easy it is. You have to either phish them or do something else, but test them. Like,
yeah,
prove it to them that they should care and that they can be tricked, because you frequently hear, like, somebody's an expert in their field and they overvalue that. They're like, no. I'm a lawyer. I trick people every day, or I find loopholes, and I'm not going to fall for that because this is my world. And it's like, yeah, but that's their world. You know, like, somebody's crafting a spear phishing email. That's their job. And so they're a lot more expert than you. You could fall for it too, you know? So you got to prove it to them sometimes. I mean, I love that we internally occasionally we'll send out phishing emails from our security team. I think it's the best way to be like, look, you can fall for it too.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And that to me is one of those moments where you realize how easy it is to fool someone. And I think you brought up a good point of, like, that there's teams of people, experts out there on the bad side of the fence who that's all they do is learn how to
sell
do
it
that.
For like, they sell it for like $4.99 online. Like, hey, tell us a company and we'll send our experts out and find five and somehow harvest five accounts.
Right. Yeah. It's staggering to me. Back in the day when it was just these poorly worded emails using Markov text generation. But now it's actually, you know, these teams of people, these email marketers really, who are creating these types of scenarios that can fool almost anyone, even those in the industry itself or people who have, you know, feel like they're experts overall. So,
yeah.
So what do you, I'm interested, going back to the password things, like, when people ask you for your advice around password management and hygiene, what are things that you tell different folks?
Well, first, just put a sticky note of all of them on your screen.
Okay. Right? All right. Do you make it in, like, the bright yellow sticky note, or maybe camouflage?
No, you're going to obscure it. Yeah. No, it's like a dull blue sticky note, so nobody would go. Yeah.
I put it under my desk to the left side of my monitor, just FYI.
Yeah, no, I know.
Right. Right.
Every time I need to get into your accounts, I just walk in and look under there, and that's all good. But no, I mean, for the most part, it's I think back to like my wife and my family and what they ask, and it's there's no right answer. It's like, okay, how much do you want to go through? I mean, a password manager is going to be your best bet, but if that seems like too much work for you, then just at least please make sure they're different.
Right.
And don't use, you know, our kids' names in it or something that simple.
Yeah.
But yeah, everybody, most people don't have a level of tolerance for it. So.
Right. Yeah. I think I'm a big fan of the pass phrases mentality.
Yeah.
And just,
Then I love the vendors. I mean, like the application and website developers who are like, well, you can't use spaces. You can't use.
That's so frustrating.
So many of them, though. Yeah. Like, your password has to be 8 characters long, upper and lowercase, but no special characters. And they're like, what?
What? And that's where it's like, just give me a standardized, you know, way. I mean, maybe this is a horrible idea, but it's like we should all be able to come to some agreement that we should all be able to use these types of characters, a space, letters and numbers, you know, blah, blah, whatever it is. And every site or app should have to adhere to that. That is, I mean, how can we not make this some sort of standard? Because that's where I think we get in trouble too, where you're trying to come up with a password and it keeps rejecting you. You keep reading the rules and you're like, I don't even understand the rules. There's 8 different bullet points in front of me. How do I even create a password anymore?
I mean, the sites I rarely use and I don't even want to add to like a password manager because it's like so rare that I use it. And I sometimes just don't even try. I just go in and I'm like, I forget my password. What's the process? And I'm happy they have a real process, but it's often like, oh, I can guess which one I had here. And then I go through and I'm like, oh, I was way off because their rules don't even allow that.
Right.
Use that character.
Right. Exactly. And then I'm resetting it and I'm trying to figure it out. It's just, it aggravates me to no end.
It's the worst.
And it's typically an email that now I don't work there anymore, or it's been deactivated, or I never log into it. So now I'm trying to figure out the password for that place. Yeah. And then they don't have 2-factor, so I can't actually get the text to my phone. And
oof. Yeah. I mean, anything to do like the annual things like tax preparation or something like that. Oh, I need to obtain my tax documents from last year. Oh, well, all right, I'm just going to say I don't remember my password. I'm not even going to deal with trying to guess it.
Right, exactly. So that goes back to your point, and I think hashtag password post-it has got to be really the most important element of this entire pod is just
put it on the post-it. Yeah, you got to tell us what color your post-it is.
Right. Hashtag password post it and just enter your color. And if you do that, you'll get a special prize from Nate Palinoff.
Oh, yeah. Nate will send you something special.
Enjoying his long weekend already while we sit here and we do the hard work of recording podcasts.
Oh, it's really unbearable to go through this every time, you know.
It's a labor of love. All right. Well, I think we covered most of the big stuff that's been going on. We're going to do this every once in a while when we don't have a quote unquote special guest. Not that you're not special.
Thanks. My mom says I'm special.
You are special. You're special to all of us. but until next time, hashtag password post it, and we'll get those colors from y'all. All right. Thanks, man.
Thank you.